Hi everyone, and welcome back to the Gentleman's Talk. How are we? I am absolutely, must start this off. In fact, bear with me while I just turn this music down a little bit. I think it's going to be a little bit distracting. There we go. I'm on dirty bassline. Hi. I'm absolutely full of coronavirus, it would seem. My last podcast was me coughing and spluttering, and everyone said I sounded a bit like crap. And then Friday morning, I decided to wake up and thought, I don't really want to wake up. I want to just lie in bed. That prompted me to do a test, which we had a load left over anyway. I know that they're quite expensive now, £20 per test, but we had some left over, a little stockpile. So I took a test and it came through. Bear in mind, I did a test on the Thursday morning. I'd done a test on the Thursday evening because I was going to see my dad on Thursday. So I was just conscious I had a bit of a cold and I just didn't want to go there with coronavirus. And I tested negative, so I was like, I'm comfortable with that. Just a bit of a cold, but we stayed away from each other, but it was nice for my mental health and sort of his mental health, really, because I know we bounce off each other and he talks to me quite a lot. It's still a bit of an awkward situation between father and son in the sense that he's very old school, so he doesn't show his feelings and all that sort of stuff. And I'm very much the opposite. I show my feelings all the time. So he likes that, but at the same time, it's hard to get stuff out of him, you know. But I needed it. I was going to go up and see my dad. I do love the conversation that we have. And we managed to save a bee as well, actually, which we had a cheeky update, which I'll talk to you about in a minute because it's quite an interesting little story. So I tested, and I didn't want to get out of bed Friday morning, and but I thought, I'll get down, I'm going to do a test. And I've done LFTs before. I try to avoid them because they're not the nicest of things to do, but taking them when I've had to. And hence the reason why I'm out of breath at the moment now, just talking to you. And it took a grip of me. It was the thickest red line I've ever seen in my life, and I just deteriorated over the weekend. And I got into bed, I think about 9 o'clock on Saturday night, and I slept for about 15, 16 hours. Got up and Sunday for about 2 hours and then went back to bed again. And then the same happened Sunday night. I watched Grand Prix, which was quite fucking boring. I'm not going to lie to you. That Miami course was quite boring. There wasn't much going on. But, you know, I enjoyed it because I do like sports, do like motorsports. And, yeah, I went to bed straight away. And I slept for 14 hours. And this is me jumping straight back on to try and do a podcast because I need it. It's Mental Health Awareness Week. So what better way to start and do a, you know, talk about mental health in the week that we are dedicating towards mental health. So and I've had like a mixture of feelings really over the weekend, which has sort of led me really to talk. So bear with me, please. I might be out of breath and I might sound like I'm, you know, obese and never done a day's exercise in my life. But I can assure you I have. This is just coronavirus. I like I said, 2.5 years I've managed to avoid it. And I've put myself into some situations where I thought I must just be one of these ones that just doesn't get it. But obviously the strains have mutated so much so that, you know, it's managed to break down my my defences. Probably coupled with the fact that I'd had a rather exciting weekend and, you know, there was drink involved. So my immune system was quite low. So it's probably the prime time to attack, really, you know, and I haven't been to that situation, you know, that length before. Over the last 2.5 years, I've kind of avoided social situations. And this is me trying to sort of, you know, grab the bull by the horns and just get back into life again, you know, through the mental health challenges. And I got bitten by Rona. But anyway, here we are. Little introduction. Got some music on in the background. And I'm sat in the man cave. I don't call it the bar, lounge, you know, sort of cinema area anymore. I call it just the man cave. It is literally my man cave, you know. So I'm sat in the man cave, a bit of music on, and I just really want to talk about it. It was so prevalent with Mental Health Awareness Week, and I've just put a post up actually on my LinkedIn, just it's sharing the HSC side of things, you know, because it's coupled with my role and my duty as a health and safety advisor to try and promote safety, which is health, mental health and well-being as well. So, and just, you know, just a little bit about my challenges. So this is a really good week for me to be positive, and I'm going to try and stay focused. One thing I have learned out with coronavirus is I feel unfit, so I'm going to do the manly thing, and I'm going to get straight into fitness as soon as I'm fully fit again, in terms of able to get out there again, because I've noticed that my beard was dry this morning, you know, real sort of crispy. It wasn't full of its, you know, normal, lustrous, vigorous, I don't know how to describe it, meatiness of beard. It was just dry and horrible. So that sort of kind of led me to understand my body has just fallen to bits a little bit. Acknowledging it is because of the coronavirus, but I don't like that because I'm very proud of myself. And in a sense, I do like to take care of myself. I do moisturize. I do lather up on the good stuff, and I do like to feel good. So, yeah, I don't like this feeling. I haven't been ill for... In fact, this is my first day off. So I actually phoned in sick on Friday, and... this is my first day sick, my first 2 days sick in 7.5 years. So I'm not asking for a, you know, a badge or a medal. Excuse me a second. Had to clear the throat. I'm not asking for a badge or a medal or anything. But, you know, for me, I don't like going sick. I just don't like it. And that's a personal feeling. So I've been conscious that when I'm doing things like this, I'm like, should I be doing this? Well, no, because this is me at home just relaxing. You know, I'm still taking time to myself. And, you know, it's not so much... When you go to work, it's not so much you have to perform. So if I'm not performing at 110%, you know, which is where I sit, then I'm not going to go in. So, and this is the first time where I know that I can't power through this and perform at any level. I'd probably get to the point where I know once I've done this, I'm going to be exhausted because I can already feel it. It was 7 minutes in and I'm like... You know, so we all know the symptoms, we all know the signs by now, we've lived with it for 2.5 years, let's move on. But what I did notice, though, is over the weekend is I felt tremendously lonely. Now, this isn't because of my friends, because my friends have been there. This is because I haven't been engaging with my family, because they've all, you know, they don't want this. You know, my wife's had it before, and she's still not got no taste or smell, and she's almost 10 months in. So she's, rightfully so, she's had coronavirus. Well, all of the family had coronavirus, actually. I managed to avoid it, even though, you know, they all had it. But they all self-isolated, they all done the good stuff, they stayed in their room for 10 days. I don't know how they did it. I couldn't stay in my room. But at the same time, I had to. So I've basically spent my whole... the last 4 days in the man cave just watching crappy TV or listening to music and eating, really, which is a good thing. I'm eating and drinking, so conscious that they didn't do that, but I felt really lonely. So I'm glad I got it, in the sense that for me, I got to see a side that we've expected everyone else. No wonder we're dealing with mental health challenges during the pandemic. Because I've been social. I haven't, you know, I haven't worn a mask. I have when I've had to, but when I haven't had to, I've not bothered. People might go, but that's my own personal preference. Like, I've got my own anxiety about that. I spoke about this before. So for me, it was more about I wear glasses. I was getting, you know, steamed up. And so I just didn't. I didn't really fully protect myself. I always protected other people in the sense I would avoid them. I would wear, you know, sanitizer. But here I am now, 2.5 years reinvigorating the coronavirus speech that we're all learning to live with. But that's probably because I've only just discovered it. I really, like I said, I thought I was going to bumble my way through life and not feel it. But I don't like it. I don't like it at all. So, and it made me feel lonely because I couldn't engage. I couldn't cuddle anybody. I couldn't sort of kiss anyone. I'm a very affectionate person. I really am. And if anybody that really truly knows me, I am an affectionate person. I do like to show affection. I do like cuddles. It doesn't matter who you are. I like to cuddle and I like to kiss. I'm not really like, you know, and I'm not talking like, you know, full on kissing. But I am. I'm an emotional person. I'm a cuddly person, and I like to feel social. I like to feel that embrace. When I've got friends around me, I like to show them I care, and that's the way I've always been. I've always been like that, and one of the major struggles I experienced through PTSD and my depression, when I was in the boundaries of my depression, and this is probably where I can hopefully give, you know, sort of some context to depression, really. I didn't want anybody. I wanted to be alone. And it's only recently, since I've been dealing with this process and engaging with people that I genuinely care about. And in other words, I was surrounded by people I didn't like. And I have done an awful lot of reflection whilst I've been hanging out on my backside, which is, if you're listening from outside the UK, is a metaphorically speaking thing. I'm not literally hanging out my own arse. But it's a metaphorically speaking thing. It's a thing we say to say we're not very well. And I've done a lot of reflecting. And do you know what? If anything, it brought me down a lot lower. And I think that is what has concerned me. But at the same time, I've had to challenge myself. So I've had a lot of self-reflection and a lot of conversations with myself over the last couple of days. And I think because I've been isolated, I've been away from everybody, I haven't been able to talk, I've just spoke to myself. Now, I used to do that a lot, but never really got the answers I wanted because I had that brain fog over the front of me. But I sat there and I reflected on a lot of situations, a lot of people, actually, that I used to hang around with, and I used to think I cared about. And like I said, I've discovered a lot of things about those people, and they've systematically hurt me massively. And I've reflected on how they've hurt me and how people out there can do that. And people that I loved or thought a lot of have genuinely hurt me. And I sat there this weekend going, right, you need to let go of this, mate. You need to let go of the past. And it's really, really, really hard for me to do this. I think it's a negative for me that I don't know how to let go. Once I've discovered that somebody has hurt me, once I've discovered that someone has let me down, and I don't think there's a justified reason as to why they've done it, I don't know how to get past that point where I dislike them. And it's a horrible thing because people will say to me, I know this conversation. Just having that little one-liner, I've got two or three people on the end of my listeners who are good friends of mine that are going to say, one's going to say that they understand and, but you need to do it for your own thing. And I'm going to have one of my friends who's going to be quite brutally honest with me and go, just need to let go of that shit, mate. And I've just spoke like him as well. So, you know, and I've got another friend of mine who's Nelly, he's experienced this in leaps and bounds. He's engaged with people that have never given him anything back. So for me, it's kind of, I've reflected on those people that have hurt me, and I don't know. I have actually sat there this weekend and gone, how do I just let that go? And I can't. I just want revenge. That's all I want. It's a horrible feeling, but I want to go up to them and I want to physically hurt them as much as they hurt me, so they can sit there and feel that pain. Now, that's not a nice feat. That's not a nice characteristic to have. So I have embedded that. I have gone through it. And I thought, well, the only way I'm going to deal with this is by talking. And that's where I normally get it. I haven't had the energy. I've still not got 100% energy now. But to talk about it is the way to get out there and say, you know, this happened. This person done this, or that person done that. And that's a difficult thing to do, difficult conversation to get started. But I've reflected, and the good thing is I've churned at all of those people and gone. And my conclusion, really, it's quite a quick conclusion, really. It wasn't quick to get there, but it's quick for me to talk to you. And I've just said, well, look at where you are now, James. Look at who you are now. Look at what you've become by distancing yourself from those negative people, not engaging with them anymore, removing them from your life. You've done the hard work. So now you just need to move on, so to speak. And I know that's a difficult word to say. Some people find it easier than others. But I think it's because I invested so much in. And like I said, I'm an affectionate person. So when I talk to people, and like when I engage with people on, you know, and I've got a lot of male friends, which, you know, which are quite relatable because I am, you know, kind of that person. I kind of enjoy talking to anybody. But even when I talk to people, I often go, oh, shit, I've, you know, I'll put a kiss at the end of it, you know. And it's not a kiss as in, like, love you. I'm, you know, I'm homosexual. And I'm not saying there's anything against homosexuality, but I'm not. I'm 100% straight. So for me, it's, but I just, it's my way of showing affection because I'm an affectionate person. I do like to cuddle, you know. I do like to make things for people. I like to make people feel special. That is what I do. If people around me are happy, I'm happy, and that's what I struggle with, is the people that have been around me, I've made happy, and none of them, and I'm not saying currently, I'm saying we're talking past tense here, none of them have made me happy. They've made me to the point where I still resent them now, and that is the bit that I got, that took me all weekend. And at my lowest, it's always when you're at your lowest, when you're feeling shit, you're tired, you're exhausted, that is when you question everything. That's when you sit there and you dwell on all the negatives, and oh, that person did this, or that person hasn't spoke to me in such a long time. But we all have different things going on in our life. We all have different parameters. We all deal with life differently, don't we? We all look at, our outlook is differently to everyone else. You might even have a very good friend of yours, but their outlook might be completely different to yours, and you will clash at times. But at the same time, when you work as a team, you make yourself better as a team. And that's where my investment comes in. So when I invest in people around me, I look after them. I genuinely look after them. And my heart is always, and I'm not saying it because, you know, look at me, big head and all this sort of stuff. You know, I've got a big head, but, you know, not metaphorically speaking, I've got a big fucking fat head. For me personally, it's about, I like looking after those people and I like caring for them. My heart is always, always in the right place when I offer advice. And I've always put myself in really crap situations so that I know, like, don't do that, mate. That's not going to work for you. Okay, you know, I've been there. I've been depressed. I've endured the full-on negatives of depression. I've endured, you know, the highs, the lows. I've endured it all, and I got nothing out of it. About the lows. Excuse me. This coronavirus has taken full. Hold on. I'm knackered. but I was reflecting, I'll direct myself back to what I just said. Look at where I am now. I've lost a little bit of focus actually this last couple of weeks, and it's really, really, really prevalent. I talk about this all the time. I haven't had my cold showers. I haven't had my reflection time because I've been ill. Because I've, you know, gone from a hangover to the start of coronavirus to full on in coronavirus. I haven't looked after myself. I really haven't. I've just almost in survival mode. It felt like, to be honest, which is a bit dramatic, but I'm not, you know, it isn't a nice thing to have. It is like a cold, but a really, really extreme flu, you know, cold, flu, whatever. But it was like the headaches and everything that went with it. So when you're sitting there in your lowest point, you reflect quite heavily. And I did. I reflected quite heavily on the people that have really hurt me and how, even though I don't talk to them and I haven't engaged with them for a long time, a lot of these people, I still don't understand why they did it, because I'm not a horrible person. I just go, well, okay, I don't know why you've done this to me. And that's the bit I get over with. I can't get over. And it has hindered friendships. It has hindered relationships. You know, it's hindered quite a bit, because once you've hurt me, that's me. I get to the point where I almost dislike you, because you've gone to a level that I can't go to unless I really try. So I can't physically hurt someone. I can, but, you know, not through, I can through defense mechanisms, but I wouldn't physically go out to look for problems. I wouldn't physically go out to look to hurt people. I wouldn't even react hurting someone. Whenever I've been in a situation, it's always been through a defense mechanism. Like, okay, you've opened up the the fucking demon inside of me. So here we go. I'm gonna unleash the demon. And that demon is there. It's always been there. But it takes someone to bring it out. So when you bring that out in me, what comes with that demon is a lot of emotion. And because I'm such an emotional person, that emotion then turns into, right, you've done something to physically hurt me, mentally hurt me, emotionally hurt me, whatever. I now dislike you because I wouldn't do that to you. So why have you done it to me? And that's the bit that is hard for me to get over, which is the bit that harbours and festers in the back of my brain and sits there, and I just endure it. And even though I'm surrounded by amazing people, and like I said, I felt lonely this weekend, really, really lonely. And it wasn't because, you know, as soon as I said this on the podcast to people, they were like, fucking phone me, mate, just call me, you know what I mean? And my mate, actually, Kieran, in all of his fucking love, heard it and straight away rung me. I was asleep, so I messaged him later on, but I do need to talk to him. I don't know what it is, I prefer face-to-face. I'm not really a conversation person on the phone. I prefer seeing the whites of the eyes. I prefer seeing the emotion and really getting to depths with it. When I talk on the phone, I get a little bit like this, yeah, 15 minutes is done with me, you know. It's really weird. I don't like engaging on telephone. I really don't. It's a weird thing. I prefer face-to-face. I prefer seeing, like I said, the whites of their eyes and going and seeing and feeling the emotion of the room. So he came back to me, but it was that the loneliness was down to the fact that I hadn't felt affection, and that's normally where I get that from my wife, and I get that from my children. I've got three girls, so, you know, I get an abundance of shit from them. So I wouldn't say affection, because they're all teenagers, and they're challenging, is the easiest way to put it. But they do give me a great deal of purpose, you know, to have them. And because I haven't cuddled my wife, she's completely and utterly avoided me, and I haven't kissed, and, you know, we haven't slept in the same bed for over, you know, for almost a week, because she didn't want to get it. Rightly so, she's self-employed, so we've got our own challenges there. She gets it, she doesn't get paid for it. Fortunately for me, because of my organisation, once I go sick, I still get paid. I get sick pay. So, and like I said, I've well and truly earned a couple of days off from not having sick for 7.5 years. And the last time I think I was sick was when I'd done my back in anyway at work. So I don't often get ill, or I certainly don't, you know, pander to my own emotions. I just go fucking get on with it and man up, mate. And it's a little bit easier now. When you do get a bit sick when you work from home, it's a little bit easier because you don't have to see people in the office. So you don't worry about taking in the flu. So you just kind of go, I'll just get on with it. And if I've got to finish a little bit early and go to bed, then, you know, I'll finish a little bit early and go to bed. But with this, I'm just exhausted. So, you know, I want to fully... Everyone I spoke to about this has all said to me, don't fight it, which is my go-to. Whenever I get a cold or a flu, I just go and have an absolutely blisteringly hot bath. And then I go for a long walk with a sweatsuit on and just sweat it out. You know, it's kind of the thing I do. I just go, nah, sweat it out, mate. It'll be all right. Everyone said to me, don't fight this, mate, because if you fight it, it just lasts longer. And the first couple of days, I did fight it until Saturday evening. And I went, can't fight this anymore, mate. I think I need to go to sleep. I think I just need to sleep this off. And I did, and here I am now 2 days later, slightly better. Excuse my throat. Slightly better. Still feeling the effects, still a little bit dazed, still a little bit wired. But you know, it's all good. It's all good. But it was fantastic to understand that even though I was feeling low and I was reminiscing about the good times because I was feeling lonely, I was also, you know, harboring a lot of resentment and focusing on that quite a bit, the negative side of things, and not really focusing on the people that were looking after me. And I had a lot of messages from my friends, you know, get well soon, all that sort of stuff. So, and again, this is where I talk about nurturing the right people around you, and this is why I don't deal with the people that are negative, because they all looked after me. And like I said, I'm an emotional person, so I need that. I need that gratification. I need people to say, are you okay, dude? I don't know why, because I suppose it's because it's my natural go-to. For me, I would always be like, mate, what the fuck do you need? If any of my mates were really ill, I'd be like, mate, what do you need? Fuck it, I'll get it via Amazon, mate, and I'll buy it and I'll deliver it to your house so I don't have to, you know, come and see you, in the sense if it's contagious or whatever. Just to get that feeling out, you know? And it's really, really important. And that's why I'm a big person in offering my affection in any way, shape or form I can. You know, my dad was recently, he had a little bit of, he's got a really bad knee actually, to be fair. He's getting a bit older now, and I know that he likes to go out walking. So I know he's probably got a couple of years left in him. So straight away, I research it because I'm invested in him. And I bought him some CBD knee cream. Totally legal, so don't worry about that. And he puts it on his knees, and he said it's amazing. He puts it on all the time on his joints. But that's because I'm invested in him. I'm like, I want you to keep going. And you know, I'm invested in all of my friends. I know for a fact that, you know, I've got a friend of mine who's literally en route to his new location for his new role. And I'm like, mate, I want to hear some positive feedback from your new role. Is it going to be good for the next couple of 3 years? You know, something, a new change, new start. I haven't engaged with my two friends who have sent me a message this morning, but that's a bit jack of me, actually, isn't it? Just thought about that. It's because I went for a walk with a dog, and then I was like really conscious I wanted to do this podcast. But yeah, it's important to invest in those people, and I have invested, and it's so important to invest in those people and look after them and nurture them, so you don't get to the point where you are like me, sat there reminiscing. Holding resentment, and it's a horrible thing. I don't know whether I'll get over these things. I think they'll always sit there. It's my mental process. Once, I think it's a protection factor, if I'm brutally honest. Once you've hurt me to the point where I'm now dealing with it all the time, and it sits in the back of my head, I use it as a defense mechanism, so I know that I don't go back there again. Because constantly I've gone back to friends in the past, and I've gone back to friends or people I've cared for, and a leopard never changes its spots. It's as simple as that. I don't care what anyone says. We've all got our own personality. And if somebody's done it once, and you know, you can sort of say, okay, they've done it once. But if they've done it twice, which all of these people have at least done it twice, if not more, they're never going to change. That's their personality. That is their negativity. You've invested in them, thinking you're going to change them, thinking you're going to be, you know, part of their growth. And in actual fact, they haven't. They've just shat on you from a great height, to the point where you can feel my passion and resentment for them, you know. So I think I use it as a defense mechanism to stop myself from, i.e., doing it again, and look out for the signs for those people, and make sure that I don't get hurt again. And I'm not saying it in a fluffy way, but we all can get hurt, you know. I cast my mind back at the moment to, you know, that I didn't really want to talk about this because I didn't want to be on the bandwagon with it, if I'm honest. But I have followed it, and that's the Amber Heard and Johnny Depp thing, and it just goes to show that he was completely and utterly ostracized. He was outcast. He was treated like utter shit by a woman, and, you know, got 7 million out of him. And, you know, money aside, she was just a horrible person in 2016. But she played the cards, and everybody was like, men are fucking horrible, men are this, men are that. And he lost everything from that. And then he's fighting back. And in actual fact, as he's fighting back, we're discovering that she is a fucking animal. I mean, she was just being seen doing cocaine in a courtroom whilst in the box. You know, she is unstable. But is he ever going to regain his reputation? Probably not. You know, but it's not just about that. It's about the fact that he is individually been hurt. He will never regain that back. He has had to endure years of courts, ostracized people, Disney and all that outcasting him. Everybody's just labeled him from one person's point of view. And in actual fact, it transpires that he's actually just a really nice guy that that has been hurt, that has been brutalized, but has still stood there. And as men, that's what they expect us to do, don't they? And I've learned that. You're expected to sit there, and I have taken the shit. I have taken utter shit from people that I thought loved me and I thought cared for me. And it transpires that they never did. But the only person that ever felt, you know, that ever came out sort of hurt from this was myself. Those people are still going on. They still think that it's okay. I've still had people talk to me. I had one person say to me, "Merry Christmas. Hope you're okay." Right, mate. You're a fucking dickhead, mate. You actually fucking hurt me to my face for years. You behind my back, you hurt me. And I gave you personal gifts. This is the problem. I invest so much into the people that I love and the people that I care for that when I get hurt, it's proper hurt. As in, I've given you a segment of me. You know, I've given you a part of me. I've given you, I've opened up to you. I've cared for you. I've looked after you. I've made things. And I'm not just talking about this one person. I do that with everybody. If anybody around me that truly has been around me for a long period of time and I've engaged with a lot, I'm careful what I say here, because there is one person in my group that hasn't got a gift from me yet. And Nelly, let me say, I know for a fact that you have got something coming your way. I'm not making a point of it because, you know, but I make a point because I like everybody to have something from me personally. Because if you've got something from me personally, that is the extension of my love and friendship. Because I genuinely care for the people around me, which is why I get so fucking hurt when people that I've done that with have openly hurt me. And there is people that have done that. There is people that have openly received love and affection from me, and friendship and companionship, and they have openly, to my face, made me feel shit or hidden it from me until I found out about it. So I'm very, 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 very cautious, and I've lost written friendships because of the way people have spoke to me, and I think I'm a lot more in tune with myself now. I'm a lot more invested in my own mental health now. I'm a lot more invested in myself. Before, I was very vulnerable. I would look for people for, you know, that gratification. I would look for people for that, you know, I'm trying to think of the word. There's a word I'm looking for, but it's not coming. It's on the tip of my tongue. But I would look for people for, what's the word I'm looking for? Acceptance, I suppose, or there is a word I'm looking for, but I can't think of it. It'll come to me in a minute. But I would constantly look for people for that, for caring for me, for acceptance, for acknowledgement, to know that I'm doing the right thing for them, to know that am I on the right path? I always ask my close friends, especially Kieran. You know, we had this thing last week where, you know, I spoke about mental health and I spoke about how PTSD doesn't really care who you are. And I was conscious. I really, really overthought that process. And I was concerned I was hurting each and individual of my friends. Now, to give you context of why I do that is because I've been hurt by words. I've been hurt physically. I've been hurt emotionally. I've been hurt mentally. So I know the signs. I'm cautious that I don't want to do that, because everybody that's around me, my own little close network of four or five friends, they mean the world to me. Genuinely mean the world to me. Like, I could know for a fact I can go and have fun with them. So I do get a bit lonely when I don't see them. I do get a little bit, because I am that invested in them. When I don't hear from them and understand them and make sure that they're okay, I hurt inside, because I'm like, fucking hell, I haven't heard from such and such for a long time. But that's because I invest in those people, and they're the ones. You can't go through life alone. I don't care what anyone says. I have tried for 7.5 years. I tried to do it alone, and the best part of 3 years, I did it alone, and I was in the worst place of my life. Absolutely, it was horrendous. I thought I was okay, but I wasn't. But along that journey of being alone, I was hurt emotionally, physically, mentally, So I don't want to do that again. I really don't. And it's probably why this podcast is a little bit of an emotional podcast for me, because I am in a little bit of a difficult place. But that's not a reflection on the people around me, because the people around me are amazing now. You know, they've engaged with me, get well soon. You know, I got a phone call from my dad earlier, which, I must talk about. So I got this thing. Every year for the last 4 years, believe this or not, I've saved AB. Now, in the grand scheme of things, that means fuck all, you know, in the sense that there's millions of bees, okay? But I know we're on a bee decline, and I know that I have a video from the last 4 years where I've been walking around summertime, springtime, and there's been a bee, which has obviously come out, and normally quite a big bee, and he's exhausted, and I've managed to pull him in and give him a little bit of sugary water, or as I discovered, which through my hilariousness, I remember, not last year, year before, I gave a bee honey, and someone said to me, should you give bees a specific honey? Shouldn't you give them a specific honey from their hive, sort of thing? I was like, nah, fuck it, makes honey. They all produce honey. In actual fact, so every time I've saved a bee, and the honey's obviously sweet, so they love that shit, you know, so they do chomp it down. But I did discover when I Googled this, that if you shouldn't give a bee a different honey, because they'll go back to the colony and be ousted. They'll be kicked out, almost, you know, killed, because they've got the different bee. So I might have saved a bee, and he's gone home, and he's gone, who you been slagging it about with, mate? You slack. What hive have you been at, mate? And then gets killed. So, but for my inner feeling, I saved him. So we had this bee, and I was walking around with my dad last Thursday when I went to see him, and there was a bee on the floor, and he was like on its side, like heavy breathing, but like almost fucking dead. Do you know what I mean? I was like, fuck, I'm going to pick him up. I was like, Dad, I got to pick him up, mate. He's like, what? He'll be fine. I was like, no, mate, he's exhausted. He's in the sun. It was sunny last week. I said, I need to give him a bit of sugary water. And he was like, all right, you fucking weirdo, sort of thing. He didn't say that, but, you know, he was like, yeah, no problem, son. Yeah, bring him back. So we took him back to the office and gave him a bit of sugary water. And he put his, like, little, you know, his little tongue in and started, like, slurping up a bit. But he wasn't there. He was heavy breathing. And what it was he was genuinely exhausted. This was last Thursday. So, left him on the Thursday night with a little bit of sugar in the shade outside to just let him rest. And then I didn't go in on Friday. My dad sent me a video on Friday saying he's walking around, he's not too bad. And I was like, to be honest, if he'd have died, I don't think my dad would have told me. He probably would have said, you know, he's thrown off. I think I spoke about this last week, actually. But I had an update today. And this is what the point. So the bee was still there. So my dad went in and said he was still there. He was still breathing. He went to give him a little bit of a helping hand. And he said his arms were flailing around. I said, oh yeah, they'd give you five, don't they? Because they want to try and grasp hold of you. And he gave him a little bit of fresh sugary water. And the bee was like literally all in. So this bee hadn't moved for like almost 4 days. And he said he came back about an hour later and the bee had gone. He'd literally flown off. So he just needed that extra bit of sugary water. Give him that. He's had a rest for 4 or 5 days. But that's 4 years in a row now I've done that. I've managed to save a bee. I absolutely love a beehive. I don't know why. Just something, you know, that I'm really sort of invested in. I like bees. I think they're amazing things. To have your own beehive. I couldn't because of the kids. But if I had a little beehive here, a little mini one, it'd be absolutely incredible. But yeah. Where did I go with that story? It was just a lovely little story, wasn't it, you know? But yeah, so I've had mixed emotions, really, and it's been a bit of a difficult one, but just because I think because I'm just ill, that's all. It was not difficult because, you know, of life or whatever, but just because I'm used to that affection, I'm used to, and I know that that'd been quite overpowering for some people, but I'm not, people go to shake my hand, I'm like, fucking put your hand down, mate, and give me a cuddle. I'm not a handshaker. I don't really. It's too formal for me. I'm a handshaker, you know, for the professional attitude, walking, oh, you're fucking. I'm James Little John, mate. You know, fucking strategic compliance manager, hard as nails, you know. From a professional aspect, I'm a handshaker, but I'm not really like. I'm a cuddler. I'm like, fucking bring it in, mate. You know, we got one chance on this fucking life, mate. I want to cuddle and, you know, learn from as many people as I can. I'm very much like that. That's my ethos in life. Learn as much as I can. Listen to different stories. I'm devastated that I didn't get to listen to, like, my grandfather, for instance, in Scotland. my dad's dad, because, you know, he was around World War II and he was a machinist, and I believe if the story is correct, that he used to machine, turn all the iron and stuff into, all the scrap iron and metalworks into rounds and all this sort of stuff. So very heavily involved in the backside, if you like, you know, the back end of the war. But the fundamental aspect of the war, you know, delivering bullets and stuff. And it was because of his age at the time in the 40s that he didn't go on the front line. But I missed out on listening, and I very much love talking about history. So when I sort of, that's an aspect of me that I love to learn off of new people. And that's why I think I'm so adventurous and so caring, is because I'm like, come on into my life and let's talk, let's learn from each other, let's make things amazing. And that's why I'm very conscious about how, you know, who's around me, because, you know, and I know that here we are talking about resentment, and I know here we are talking about how, you know, Christ James let things go. And I've spoke about let it go in podcasts, but it is very difficult, as I've discovered. It's not as easy. Mental health doesn't allow you to do that as easily as you'd think. You have to find ways to deal with it rather than just forget about it, because I don't think you'll ever forget. You know, it's ingrained, especially if you've been physically hurt, which I have. You know, I have been physically, mentally and emotionally really hurt by people, and that's why I don't tend to let people in. I tend to be open and honest now, but I'm a very good judgment of character. I can look at someone and go, I think I'm going to get on well with you, or I won't. So I'm very cautious about the type of information that I'll deliver, the type of insight that I'll give people. I mean, you'll get a lot of insight on my podcasts, but that's because I enjoy this aspect. It helps me. It helps me to focus. It helps me to mentally process everything. And it helps me just to get through life, really, by talking openly about things. And it was one of my aspects, my little post was, you know, it's okay to not be okay. You know, we hear that phrase quite a lot. And, you know, I said that mental health, and this is crazy, but it's true. Mental health is a silent illness, but it's not silent for me. It shouts at me every day. And I put that in my little spiel because it's true, because from the outside, I can put on a bravado. From the outside, everybody's, like I said, one of the things that I've been engaging with one of my friends is everyone that we've spoke about and we've helped with, they've all come back with saying, from the outside in, the life looks amazing. And it does, from the outside of my house, and you look through the door and you go, fucking hell, he's got lovely things, and, you know, he's got this and this, and, you know, he's got technology everywhere, he's fucking design crazy, you know, that's fine. But inside my mind, I'm being screamed at. Don't get out of bed, James. Fucking ignore that person, James. That person just hurt you, James. You know, I got a text message, for instance, you know, from my boss yesterday. So I sent my boss, you know, it's difficult for me to send fucking messages to my boss anyway, because I like to be the boss. But I sent him a message saying, I don't think I'm going to be in today, because I'm not 100%. And I'm one of these ones where I've powered through it before. I've kind of gone, just fucking get on with it and go to work. And now I'm at the mindset, like, why go to work when you're not 110% and just make yourself personally worse when you're not recovered? For what? You get nothing out of this, mate, apart from more suffering personally. You've got one chance, mate. Why give yourself that stress? So I'm like that now. And do you know what? That's only come about since doing these podcasts, since actually listening to my body and my mind a lot more than I used to. But I sent him a message yesterday saying, I don't think I'm being a mate. Rona's... And I felt bad saying it, actually, because I was like, 2.5 years in, mate, and here I am now complaining like it's day one. Well, it is, because it is day one for me, because I've gone 2.5 years and never had... I know people have had it around me, but I haven't physically endured the pain, so I don't know what it feels like. So you can't describe it. It's almost like when someone says to me, oh, yeah, you know, I was a bit sad last week. And you go, oh, yeah, yeah. So I know 100% what you're going through, mate. You know, I was a bit sad last week. And you think to yourself, no. I don't think you fucking do, mate. So I've never really commented on people. I've never said fucking man up on your coronavirus because I've never felt it. I've gone, fucking hell, what can I do to make it easier for you? Or, all right, just rest up, you know? So I felt a bit bad saying to him, I'm not 100%, mate. I really am not. I've slept for fucking 15 hours a day, which is a long time. And when I have been here, I've not really been compassmental. So I've been a bit fucking wild, a bit, you know, a bit edgy. I've been losing focus. You know, it's a bit weird. It's a weird feeling. It's just almost like my body is fighting this shit daily. And then, you know, it sort of takes out you when your body fights a really, really poor illness. And I've had, you know, triple jabs and all, I've done everything you can. So God knows what it'd be like. You know, if I hadn't have had the jabs, I'd like to think that I'd be fucking a lot worse, put it that way, in the sense that I hope there's a purpose behind all those jabs. Excuse me a second while I catch my breath. So, you know, I've not experienced it, but I sent him a text message and he sent me one back, and this is where my mental health is different, and this is where I know I often have to speak to my wife actually nowadays, because I am quite a senior role and I want to get senior, so I do look to the low level stuff for a bit of support. So I sent a message saying, I don't feel me a minute, I'm really sorry, I'll give you an update on Wednesday, because I thought, if I'm not 100%, and this was late last night, if I'm not 100% yesterday, say for instance today I'm probably about, I don't know, 20% better. So tomorrow I'm thinking I'm 40%. So I'm thinking, you know, Wednesday I'm going to be 60. If I work on that basis. But so I'm going to be 60% fit, 40% unwell. But probably enough to function. And I said, I'll probably come in on the Wednesday, do a half day, see how I feel. And if I don't feel fucking great, I'll take half a day flexing and rest up again. But I'm an adult enough now, 40-year-old adult enough to know that how to manage my body. But that's only just become prevalent. It's only become sort of customary now to how I do things. I wouldn't have done that before. I'd have just been at work on the Monday. I've been there. I've been fucking hanging out my ass. And people have said to me, go home. And I've gone, nah, be all right, mate. And I've literally been like, you know, popping ibuprofen and Cocodamol to try and get rid of the pain. And he sent one back to me saying, no problemo. Enjoy the rest. Now, I overthought that because I was like, I'm not really going to enjoy the rest, but it was a text message. It was sent in personal time. I understand that. But this is where the mental health aspect takes over, because I was like, well, you know, it would have been nice to say, hope you fucking feel better. Do you know what I mean? And that's where the difference in my managerial style, I suppose, is I'm very invested in people. Oh, rest up, mate. Do not come back until you are 100% fit. I didn't get any of that. It was just enjoy the rest. I'm like, well, I'm not sure, mate, if you've had coronavirus. I don't know whether he has or not. It's not nice. and we all get different levels of this illness as well. You know, it's some people can get it worse than others in the fact that you might even fucking die from it. And some people might just get it where, you know, a couple of 3 days. I'm probably about middle ground, I think. It's just a shortness of breath. And I think because I'm coupled with a bit of unfit, I'm a bit unfit as well. So, but I'm not asking for sympathy, but I would have expected a slightly different response. I would have personally, myself, because this is the way I am, I would have gone, you know, don't worry about it. You need to be 100% fit. Just let me know when you're in. But bear in mind, I would have caveated it with, you're only allowed to self-certify for 5 days, which is, you know, 5 working days. It's going to take you up to Thursday. So anything beyond that, you need to look at a medical note from your doctor, just to give you a reminder of the administration process, because I have a duty of care to let you know that you don't go over there, so you don't fall into or incur any disciplinary problems. I would have done that, and I would have gone, but leave the rest with me. I'll do whatever I've got to do. You just rest up and get better. Now, I would have said that in probably that lengthy terms as well, because I'm a very caring person. I didn't get that, and I was a bit like, I didn't expect that, you know. So that's my managerial style, I suppose, to his managerial style, I suppose. You know, it is, we're all different people, I suppose, it's because I'm, you know, used to being, not being cared for. And I don't mean that in a negative way, you know, that no one's cared for me, but I've not expressed myself, so people have not known to care for me. Not known to, they need to care for me. But it's really important to be open. And as I said, you know, a lot of these people that have that I've spoken to from the outside look like they're having a fucking great time, but from the inside they're hurting. And a lot of people mask it with the visuals, that if I look like I'm okay from the outside, then no one's going to bother me and I can sit and suffer in silence. And then it just gets worse and worse and worse, and you might be one of these statistics that gets to the end and you've committed suicide. So it's really, really important to acknowledge when you're not feeling great, and it's really important to listen to people. And that's the only thing I can offer advice, is there's always going to be a sign that someone is not great, that's not well, that's not mentally there. There's always going to be a sign. They'll show you a sign. They have to, because it's whether you choose to accept that sign. It's whether you're in the right place to accept that sign. You might not be. But if somebody offers that up to you, it's really important that you take hold of that, because, as I said to you, you know, Johnny Depp, for instance, he's in a place where he's hurting, and he's been hurt by somebody physically, mentally, emotionally. And he's having to prove that in the public eye. You know, so massively important that we embrace these people. And like, for the fallout for Johnny Depp now, he'll probably go and he'll probably be a bit of a recluse now, because he doesn't want the attention, because he's had to literally show his whole world his private life. So he's probably going to be a bit of a recluse. In actual fact, you need to do the opposite. You need to embrace him. You need to go, well done, mate. You powered through that. You've come to this point where you've proven you had to do this because of the world we live in. But don't shut yourself down. You know, you look at all the greats. You know, you look at Prince, for instance. Prince the singer, you know, absolutely fueled by drugs, because he had nothing. And he was shutting himself away in his house, was just taking drugs and ended up killing himself. Whitney Houston was another one, you know, absolutely completely and utterly overwhelmed by depression and mental health problems, because she had the money, she had everything, but she didn't clearly have everything, and no one listened to her, and she committed suicide. And then her daughter went and did exactly the same. So it's really, really important that you listen to the signs and you don't shut yourself away, because it is really easy to do. I thought about it even this week. I've shut myself away. I've not engaged with people. Like I said, I've lost focus. But I have been hounded. In fact, literally on this text message, on this podcast, I've just had a drop-down box come down from my friend Kieran asking me how I am. Now, that's the second person today that has asked me how I am, which is really, really amazing, you know. I even had my wife come and say to me this morning, I'm not going to self-isolate from you, James. I can see that you need company. I can see that you need the cuddles. So I'll come back to bed and we can cuddle in bed. And I do need affection. I really do. It's such a bad thing to have. It's such a bad trait to have, but I really do need affection. I need to feel that. I don't know why I need it. It's part of me. I think if I've got affection and, you know, I'm surrounded by that love and fun and happiness, that I'm just a better person. I function better. I get better. I feel like I'm engaging with people, and I feel like I'm part of their life, and that means a lot to me. Which is why I'm so hell bent on helping people, because I like to help people. I've been to the depths and the darkest and the most horrible place you can imagine. I've been there, and there's people that have been there and done have committed suicide. I was very fortunate in the sense that my willpower overtook me, because I couldn't be here. I probably wouldn't be here now. This is as early as, like I said, I keep saying to you, Christmas last year. So the reason I keep bringing that up is because I want to constantly prove where I am now by doing these right things, by looking after the right people around you, by caring for the right people around you, by, you know, these are all really important signs that. And I've lost a little bit of focus. I haven't been doing my meditation. I haven't been doing my cold water therapy. And it's apparent in my mood swing. It's apparent in my mood when I don't manage that on a daily basis, and I haven't got the cuddles from my family, and I haven't got the engagement with my friends that this is where I get to. And they've engaged with me, which is really important because they are showing their side now. They're showing their worth. And that's important because it's okay for me to be the instigator. And I think I had a message yesterday from one of my friends saying, oh, we've been a bit quiet on the text front. And I kind of looked at that as if to say, mate, I'm hanging out my ass. You know, I'm not very well. The last thing I've been thinking about is engaging. However, you can engage and I will respond because everyone knows I'm the instigator in most things. I like to instigate things, but it's also nice for people to instigate it back and respond. And that's what I'm getting back. I'm getting that feedback now from these people. And that's really important to me. It is worth its weight in gold because it means that I am actually, it underpins the fact that I'm nurturing the right people around me because they're caring for me and I'm caring for them. And that's really important. It's a two-way, it has to be a two-way friendship and relationship. Excuse me. Oh, I was out of breath then. Massive importance there. Massive importance. And it's given me the drive to talk, actually. And that's why I'm here talking to you, even though I'm literally feel like, I mean, I've started sweating and everything now. So I'm going to knock it on the head there, actually, because I need a little break. But amazing. I am going to do my motivational minute because I feel inspired to do it. And but please, just as a little closer, you know, just for today is just remember, you know, your actions have consequences. So just make sure that you're doing the right thing about the people that are around you. If you're not doing the right thing about you, then just don't engage with those people. Because if you're not invested in them 100%, then, you know, it's not worth it. It's not worth it on their behalf and on your behalf. And, make sure you nurture the right things around you. And look after those people around you. And you know, acknowledge that we all have different personalities. We all have different traits and we all have different tendencies on how we deal with things. Like I said, I'm a very emotional person. I'm a very affectionate person. I know that one of my friends, he's not emotional or affectionate in that sense as I am. I'm quite open. I'm quite open about my affection. But a lot of my friends aren't. They're not like that. They're not the same ilk. You know, they're not. They probably think I'm a little bit sort of kind of out the head with the emotion side of things, which I am. And most of my friends around me aren't like that. They're very sort of kind of quiet and just kind of a bit reserved and like that aspect, but don't deliver that aspect. But that's fine. They all deliver it in different ways. And that's where I acknowledge my difference in my friendships and relationships. But as my wife has acknowledged this morning, she said, James, I have seen your mental health decline over the weekend massively. And I'm like, I can't not be around people. I can't not have cuddles. I can't not have love and affection around me because I just shut down. And then when I shut down and I go into that shutdown mode, I just have to focus on something, whether that's focus on learning. And I did. I started focusing on, right, what course can I do? Rather than getting better, I was like, what course can I do? And I was looking, going, why have I not had feedback from this course? Why have I not completed this? You know, and I started going into the negativity side of things. God, that's a real heavy beat. That's a dirty, grimy beat in the background there, isn't it? Yeah, lovely. Don't shake your head. You've got a headache, you prat. So she acknowledged that. She could see it. And I am like that. I am very, very, very much like that. I love to hear from people. I love to hear how their day's going. I'm fully invested in people. And that's where that's transitioned across into my employment. That's, you know, I'm very much invested in the people around me. I want to see them succeed. I want to see us succeed. You know, and that's why the people around me, we're a team. Everybody around me is part of my team. You know, right down to, you know, even my brother. In fact, that's a key point, actually, that to finish on, that, you know, I haven't engaged my brother for the last couple of days and I need to do it. So one of the things I'll do jump straight on is engage straight back in my brother because, you know, he's the same. He thrives on affection. He's very similar to me, and I haven't delivered that, so I need to be part of that as well. So I'm going to, straight after this podcast, re-engage my friends again after a couple of days. This has given me that spark that I needed, this talk, me being open, has given me that spark to say, actually, you say you like love and affection, James, but you need to, you know, deliver it back out. So I'm going to 100% jump on that bandwagon and re-engage with everyone and apologize. So it's really important to be open and to talk. If you're not being open and talk, if you're out there right now suffering and you're sat in there going, oh, well, I've got everything around me, but you're not there, there's something not quite right, then take this opportunity to talk. Take this opportunity to engage with somebody that you've got confidence in, that you know will listen. They might even be able to... I've been signposted quite a few times. People have signposted other people to me to listen to this podcast. And that is overwhelmingly... That's a beautiful thing to do, because I want people to know that you're not alone when you go through this. We are here as a team. And, you know, I've done it alone for a long, long time. And that's what's given me this purpose to talk to people about my own journey and offer guidance and offer support, and also just be show you proof that being open and honest, I mean, my mood has changed in this exact hour from when I was at the start to where I am now, because I'm focusing on things, I'm talking, and that could be the sense where you could be talking to a friend right now and they could be listening to you and you could go, fucking hell, I haven't done this, he's talking about that, but I haven't done that. And that might be what my problem is. So re-engage, talk about these things, be open and honest. And, you know, we'll make ourselves better. We are in a crap world at the moment. You know, we're dealing with our own demons. But Mental Health Week is a great week to start that process and get that ball rolling. So, yeah, hopefully, you know, this has inspired you, and hopefully it's given you a little bit of food for thought yourself. And motivational minute coming up next. I'm going to have a quick breather, drink, bit of toast, and then I'm going to jump on and do my motivational minute. But yeah, I hope you're all okay. And but just remember, it's okay to not be okay. But at the same time, make sure you talk to someone. Make sure you reach out to someone, whether it's a friend, someone you've not engaged with for a long time, but you know that they'll listen. There's a lot of people out there that have got, you know, big ears to listen, and that sometimes is just enough to talk about your feelings and get them out there, and understand the process. They may even offer the right advice to get the ball rolling for the next step in building a better you. So yeah, thank you for listening, and I look forward to talking to you again during the week. Take care, everyone. Bye.